Blog Talk Radio.
I would usually say a fun edition of Sports Urban Legend with your host, William Rameau, which that would be me, of course, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews. But today is a little different. Jets are 2 minutes away from being officially eliminated from postseason contention.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Macaulay, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, a little PO'd right now, but other than that, I'm good. And, of course, we'll lead off with a little postseason, playoffs with the Jets and Colts. Jets are, you know, are trailing right now. They're going to lose 30-17 as we speak. And, after that, it'll be the Saints versus Vikings. Drew Brees versus Brett Favre, as Brett Favre attempts to go to the Super Bowl and try to win his second ever Super Bowl championship. The last one he won since 1999 with the Packers.
97.
What was that?
97.
Oh, my fault. I said the wrong thing. Wait, yeah, right. 99 was Elway.
Yeah, Broncos. Yeah.
Right, my fault. And we'll talk a little hot stove with the Mets with Benji Molina, and Joel Pinheiro rejecting both of the Mets' offers and signed with the Benji Molina re-signing with the Giants, and Joel Piñeiro signing with the Angels. And we'll talk about, you know, a little with a little hot stove also with the Yankees, as there's a little small window of shot of a chance that Johnny Damon might return in pink to wear the pinstripes with the Yankees again. And we'll talk a little pro wrestling with what happened, you know, in WWE, which was pretty much nothing. And the TNA's copycat of the Montreal Screwjob, which is being called the Orlando Screwjob. But we'll get into that. And, you know, we'll leave the lines open to you, the fans who's ever listening, to give us a call at 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So we'll leave it open. You know, you could talk about whatever you want, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to talk about. You know how it is. So without further ado, I guess we'll kick it off like AJ Feely or Matt Stover, which he'll be Super Bowl bound as we speak. So we'll talk a little Jets Colts. And well,
you can go on.
Now I was saying I was gonna say you know, today I just before the game, I don't know. I felt a little different. I mean, all up into the week I felt confident even though Jets were the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I had a bad feeling, but I was still optimistic. And then when Braylon Edwards, you know, scored the that 80-yard reception touchdown, he, you know, that you know, after the Stover kicked the field goal, you know, I felt a little confident again. But you know, after they scored what really put that I don't know, for me, that would be the play of the game would be when Garçon, a native of Haiti,
yeah.
he scored a touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, which was the first time this whole year that the Jets allowed a touchdown within 2 minutes in the first half. So that cut the lead to 17-14 after they got the extra point. So after that, I felt a little uneasy. So I was like, I don't know. Not feeling too confident right now, even though we still have a narrow 3-point lead. We're up by a field goal. And then Sean Green, the rookie running back, who was just dominating this postseason. I mean, no one could touch this guy. I mean, this guy, like, practically has first downs every time he got the ball in his hand.
Yeah,
but he went down
for, like, rushing yards in the first two games.
Yeah, I know. And once he went down, that was like, man, I really had a bad feeling about that. Even worse
feeling.
Yeah, and the second half, they couldn't stop Peyton the Manning. You know, they kept trying to blitz him, but he just kept finding the open man. You know, that shows, you know what, you know how great and a future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, the naysayers won. You know, it makes this game anticlimactic because, you know, the better team on paper pretty much, you know, won. And Jets underdog Super Bowl Cinderella story officially ends.
Yeah, and the game just ended, so Colts are going to Miami to face the winner of the Viking-Saints game. So Manning has a chance to win his second Super Bowl and become a legitimate – well, he's already a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
If he wins the second Super Bowl, I mean, you could probably – start wondering or question whether he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right. That puts him in the rarefied air, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said.
And he has great numbers.
The Roger Staubachs, the Troy Aikmans,
mm-hmm.
Terry Bradshaws, the you know, Bart Starr, you name it. The, you know, John Elway.
Montana,
right. That's the person I was thinking of. I thought of Steve Young, but I was like, no, but yeah, it was, right, Steve Young, right.
Marino, you know, quarterbacks like that.
Well, yeah, Marino is the only exception since he has no Super Bowl rings, but we all know how dominant this guy is in his
career. Yeah, Marino had a great season. He's probably, yeah, he's up there, too, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he's up there.
Right, yeah, definitely. He's like the poster child of, quarterbacks don't take going to the Super Bowl for granted, because when he was young, he got to the Super Bowl really early in his career, and he took it for granted that, hey, you know, he's going to be back. And unfortunately for him and the Dolphins, they were never able to get back there.
Yeah, he's like Ted Williams, you know, but he never won a championship.
Exactly. But whatchamacallit, the battle of rookie head coaches, Jim Caldwell, he got you could say it's revenge, but I don't think they weren't really, I guess, you know, it was partly revenge, but it's mostly to pretty much punch their ticket to Miami so they could try to win a ring.
Yep.
And Rex Ryan, in his first rookie year, he led a rookie quarterback, Mark Sanchez, and, Sean Green, who's also a rookie, and the rest of the cast, to this nice run. But unfortunately, they got beat by a vastly superior team. But,
yeah.
You know, got to tip your hat to the Colts, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Well, here's the thing. The Jets, they were up 17-6 in this game early on. And I don't know what happened. I guess maybe it was the Sean Green injury. But from the end of the second half, from the end of the first half to the second half, they could not stop the Colts offense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they couldn't – everything. Once their defense shut down, their offense shut down too, especially with the – Sean Green injury, because Sean Green was pretty much willing them. It was like they knew, the Colts defense knew he was coming, but they couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
And once he got hurt, I mean, that's when my mind was like, oh boy, this might be the nail in the coffin right here. But, I mean, even though Jets had a now 17-14 lead at that point, but.
And, you know, Colts are a team that. Yeah, I mean. Colts are a team, like, when they get into rhythm, you know, it's almost impossible to stop them offensively. And once they got going at the end of the first half, you know, they carried that momentum into the second half, and Manning just sliced and diced the Jet defense. And, you know, on offense, the Jets, they couldn't really do anything with Sean Green out. I mean, Thomas Jones didn't have that much rushing yards, and he just couldn't rush the ball.
Yeah.
Once Sean Green went out.
Yep, and it. As of right now, four rookie quarterbacks, including Mark Sanchez, went to the AFC Championship, and so far, all of them have failed to reach to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But Sanchez had a good game, despite that late interception, which doesn't mean anything because, you know, Colts were already up by then, you know.
Yeah.
But, Sanchez had a good postseason then, you know.
He did. He really did.
You know, he didn't throw any interceptions in the first. Did he throw? I don't think in the first two games he threw any interception, right?
I think he threw one. Last week.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay.
Yeah, against the Chargers, he threw one. But you know, Jets were. If my memory serves me right, I think Jets were up at that point, but. Yeah, for the most part, you know, everybody's been playing great, you know.
Yeah.
Up until the second quarter of this game against the Colts. Yeah. And now, you know, the naysayers who were saying, you know, just got the gift to go there, you know, and that, you know, they had no shot to beating them. You know, looks like they were right.
Well, the Jets had a chance. They were 17-6, and they let the Colts go on a 24-0 run. So the offense, I don't know if it was more the defense or the offense. I mean, well, the defense, they give up 30 points, so you got to blame them, but you also got to blame the offense for not scoring more.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, you definitely have to fault the defense because, you know, the Jets had the number one ranked defense all year long. So, sure, the offense definitely didn't help them out. And with the Sean Green injury, that definitely exacerbated the whole problem with the Jets scoring after the first half.
Yeah. And, you know, the Colts, like you said, they're a great team. I mean, their defense flies all over the place. You know, they may be small, but they're fast on defense.
Yep.
And on offense, I mean, they have, you know, a lot of weapons. Even though Reggie Wayne and, what's his name?
Garcon?
Clark were quiet today.
Right.
Yeah, Garcon had a great game.
Yeah.
Garcon and Kali.
Yeah, he was definitely representing Haiti today.
Yeah.
With that touchdown, which to me it looks like it was the turning point of the game. You know, it was actually because the guy at the was it Clark, the guy who caught the touchdown before to cut it to 17-14.
Thirteen-14, you said?
No, 17. I mean,
17-13,
and then of course they Stover kicked the, you know, the extra pointer.
Who was it? I think it could have been Kali.
Austin Kali, I think.
Yeah, I think it could have been Kali that caught that touchdown.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. Yes, it was Collier, Austin Collier. Yes, yeah, I remember that now. You're right.
Yeah, that was definitely a turning point. I mean, the Jets gave up that long play down the field. You know, that guy got wide open. And, that was definitely a turning point in the game, that play at the end of the first half.
Yeah. Even though the Jets technically had the field goal lead on them, but that definitely changed the complexion of the game.
Yeah.
That awakened the offense, the Colts defense, the fans. Man, they just shut the Jets down in the second quarter. It was like a totally different game.
You know, the Jets look like they're going to do, you know, they're going to be like the
Giants. 07 Giants.
Yeah. You know,
go
on the road, upset big teams, you know, go to Super Bowl and try to win it.
Yep.
They just came up short.
They sure did.
But, you know, this was a great year. You know, no one expected the Jets to go to the Super Bowl, you know, to even make it this far.
Yeah. Even Rex Ryan, up until the point when they after that
there's Garcon,
you know, that
the
brutal
Haitian flag on TV right now. Near the championship trophy. You see it? Putting the Haitian flag on the near the championship trophy.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out now.
Oh, you missed it. What are you in the basement?
No, I'm not in the basement.
I thought you were at the TV.
I was, but I went to another room.
Oh, well, you know, they already showed it. But maybe in the replays later on, you'll see the replay.
Yeah, I'll catch the highlights later. Or lowlights, depending on which view you're looking at it.
Yeah, they're having the AFC Championship Trophy presentation right now. But, yeah, Colts deserved it, and Jets had a great year this year, man. They had a number one defense.
Yep.
You know, they had a rookie quarterback who played really good in this postseason.
Yeah,
they have a running back in Sean Green that they could look forward to having big seasons in the future.
Yep.
And they have a, you know, tough-minded, nose-barred, confident coach in Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan. He was this close to living up to his prediction that Jets will get a handshake from Obama.
Yeah.
First term, he was this close to fulfilling his dream.
Well, maybe it might happen next year.
It might. But we shall
see. Maybe the Jets win the division next year and they make it more easier for themselves and they play the AFC Championship next year in their home building.
Yep. Hey, they might have a shot. I mean, Patriots, I mean, they you know, it looks like it's the end of their dynasty.
Oh, their dynasty ended years ago.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Their dynasty did end after the Giants eliminated them in the Super Bowl. But
and the Colts the year before that.
Well, yes, that's true. When Peyton got his first ring.
Yeah.
But it looks like their dominance in the NFL. That's what I should have said. Their dominance in the NFL looks like it. You know, it's officially over. But then again, you can never count that team, a Bill Belichick, you know, run team. So. You never know. They'll be competitive next year, but I don't think they have that aura of invincibility that they used to have.
No. Well, you never know with these football teams. I mean, one year they're good, one year they're bad, you know. These football teams are unpredictable.
Yeah, like the Bengals.
Yeah. So you never know. That's why everybody loves football. It's unpredictable.
Yeah, they have, you know, so much parity. You know, they all have the same salary for the most part. You know, pretty much any team in any city have a shot.
Yeah.
But like baseball, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, you know, those guys are, you expect those guys to always, you know, never make the postseason.
Yeah. And, Steelers, they won the Super Bowl last year, and they didn't even make it to the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything can happen in the NFL.
Yep. Or in sports, period.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Pirates. I mean, the last time they were a hit was when We Are Family was a hit.
That was their
team slogan song. With Willie Stargell and all those, you know, Dave Parker and all those guys.
Yeah.
For Bly Levin. That's how sports are, man. It's, you know, unpredictable.
Definitely.
What are your predictions for the Saints and Vikings?
I think the Saints are going to win it. Saints have the game in their home building, and they're almost unbeatable in that building. So I think the Saints will go to Super Bowl and they'll face the Colts. That'll be a good matchup because they're both great offensive teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. But
I know America wants to see Favre versus Manning.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I hope Saints, make it instead of whatchamacallit. Instead of the Vikings, but I think Brett Favre's gonna have that. He's gonna make it to the Super Bowl. I think it's gonna be that the classic match. Excuse me, Favre versus Manning.
Are you watching TV? Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm not.
Oh, Garcon is holding up the Haitian flag again while he's being interviewed. It's just a great gesture, you know. The guys had a good game. He had 11 receptions, 151 yards, one touchdown, and that's the AFC Championship game record. 151 reception yards.
Yeah, I know. This guy, he killed the Jets, man.
He's the new Haitian sensation.
Yeah, he is. I remember when what was his name that was on the Giants? Joseph?
Yeah, William Joseph.
William Joseph, right. They used to be calling him that when he was with the Giants, but he never panned out the way they wanted him to. But yeah, speaking of the Saints and Vikings, Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush, they have a deal. I don't know if you've heard of it. That if he wins the Super Bowl, they're going to get engaged or married, something like that.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, then they're going to get married.
Oh, well, he doesn't have to worry about that because the Colts are going to win it.
But they got to get past Favre and the Vikings.
Yeah, that's first. No, but I think the Colts, the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure looks like it.
I mean, they've been the best team all year long in the NFL.
Yeah. 14-2 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And 3 more in the postseason.
Yep.
All in all, 17-2. If you wanna include postseason.
Yeah.
A little math for you know. For you, my friend.
Thank you. For the fans.
Yep. I actually don't even have to pull out a calculator for that one.
Yeah, it's easy.
So easy a caveman could do it.
Yeah.
Or me.
But I'm looking forward to tonight to seeing the game to see who wins that.
Yeah,
watching that and Tough Love.
I'll check that out a little bit.
And Frank the Entertainer in his basement. So sports and love. Oh my.
Yeah, that kind of relates to that Reggie Bush Kim Kardashian story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess enough about that. Unless if you have any, you know, parting words you want to say.
Hey, Jets fans, don't. They just. I mean, you guys had a great season this year. I know this loss hurts a lot. You know, you probably think they just screwed you guys over again, like they always do. But, I mean, you guys had a great season. There's something to look forward to next season now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if people want to look at it by definition, you know, that's the same old Jets. But you're right. They had a, you know, they overachieved. I mean, they were the number one ranked defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 2 wins away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They felt, you know, they fell short. So, you know, they have nothing to, you know, just, you know, my soul just, you know, don't have nothing to, you know, hang their hat on.
Yeah.
It was a good season, but fortunately, the ring is either going to go to, it's going to go to Indianapolis or Minnesota or New Orleans.
Yeah.
And yes, another. It's been since 1969 since the Jets haven't won a championship since the you know 68 Jets you know went on that magical run.
And the Jets are now 0-3 in AFC Championship games of all time.
Yep.
So sooner or later they're gonna have to change that.
Yeah, they definitely do. From that aspect, you know, it's the same old Jets, but overall, if you look back and admire what the guys did, you know, they changed the culture of the team. You know, they were brash. They were, you know, trash talking. They really fit the model of their head coach Rex Ryan, which
right.
You know, with Rex Ryan, running the team. You know, they should be back and hopefully better than ever.
Yeah, that's what Jets fans, you know, should be happy about, you know. You guys have a great team going to the next year, and all you have to do, right? I mean, I know that a lot of Jets fans are probably thinking about jumping off the bridge, but don't do that. There's already been enough tragedy the last few weeks, okay? So just look at this loss and just reflect on the season and how you guys overachieved.
Hey, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say reflect on, you know, you know, reflect, you know, step back, you know, not looking at it, you know, objectively, and, you know, look at the, you know, the picture, you know, sure they fell short of their goal, but they were able to, you know, they were
championship.
Yeah. They were this close, but hopefully they'll make the right changes on the roster to hopefully get them to that next level.
What changes do you want them to make for next year? Or what additions?
Well,
you think they need more wide receivers?
Well, I mean, Kyrie's good. Braylon, I wouldn't mind taking him back one more year, but that guy, he definitely needs to, other than that long touchdown pass he caught today, you know, that guy's been dropping the ball, and ever since he was with Cleveland these past 2 years, he's been, and with the Jets this year, he's been, you know, dropping the ball, you know, a guy with his talent. You know, he shouldn't be, you know, dropping easy passes like that. So I'm willing to take him back one more year, but he really needs to, you know, work on his ball catching skills.
Right.
And, well, I mean, you know, Thomas Jones, he had a, you know, decent year. I mean, he is getting up there. But, you know, I'm willing to, you know, have him there, you know, for a while.
Right.
But hey, I'm just looking to, you know, when you don't win the championship, you know, there's always room for improvement. So.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully, they make the, you know, the right decisions.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe Rex Ryan could lose a few pounds to run up the field, you know. Just to run up the field, that's what I'm saying. Because today, I don't know if you saw him running down the sideline to call a timeout, but he looked like a Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters.
I ain't fit in old Rex. But, you know, I got to give props to Rex Ryan. I mean, ever since his first press conference, when he was saying that that he's not going to bow down and kiss Bill Belichick's rings, and you know, if the Patriots take a swipe at his guy, at, you know, the Jets, then they're going to take a swipe at two of those guys, you know. I like that, you know. It was a refreshing, honest press conference, unlike the Eric Mangini press conferences where he tried to emulate Bill Belichick, who was his mentor and slash frenemy, whatever you want to call they want to call each other.
Yeah.
You know, be honest. I mean, sure, you know, people want to criticize the guy because, you know, he cries backstage, but that shows the guy cares, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't hold back when it comes to revealing, you know, just saying what's on his mind.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they make the right decision. Mike Tannenbaum, you know, makes the right decision. And they'll be back there and go further. Get those two wins and, you know, make them all, you know, officially, you know, New York sports, you know, immortals, like the 69 Mets or the 68 Jets, the 73 Knicks, the 86 rather Mets, I should say. You know, your guys in the dynasty. You know, the Giants of 86 and 91. Once you win the championship, the 2007 Giants, you know, once you win in the city, you know, you become legends in this town for life.
Yeah. You're right.
So hopefully, you know, they'll make the right decisions and they'll go farther. But speaking of another team that I root for that needs to make some changes, is the New York Mets.
I thought you were about to say the New York Knicks.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to get to that. You know I'm going to get to the Knicks. Trust me, I'm going to get to the Knicks. We're definitely going to talk about that Maverick game, if you want to call it a Maverick game.
Oh, sure, man. Why do we have to?
we'll talk about it.
Nothing to talk about.
I know. we'll spin a footnote on that.
Okay.
Right, to the Mets. On to the Mets. Two straight days, they got rejected. They offered Benji Molina a 1-year deal with an option to come to New York, but instead he decides to return to the Giants for a 1-year deal with a little less money, like $1 million less than he should have took with the Mets. And also Joel Piñeiro, you know, the pitcher from the Cardinals who won 15 games last year. He left the Cardinals and went to the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Molina's a badass.
Molina, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not a loss. I mean, Molina, I mean, if he had came to the Mets, you know, he could have helped the offense a little bit. He could have, you know, been that veteran presence that these young pitchers, well, I mean, they are getting a little up there, but Maine and Perez, Pelfrey, he might be able to mentor those guys and give them a confidence that there's a veteran catcher who's, you know, that they could be confident that, you know, the catcher that they're catching will call a good game and make them help them develop. But
did the Mets offer him more money than the Giants?
Yeah, they did. They offered him I think at least $1 million more. But according to Molina, he rejected it. According to Molina, he was saying that had the Mets offered him the 2-year deal, he would have came. But also the reason why he stayed with the Giants is because he believed the Giants would be more competitive than the Mets. But you know, that guy, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there are some weaknesses. This guy isn't perfect. I mean, this guy is 35 years old. Man, well, yeah, I was going to allude to that. You know, he's a walking double play waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a loss. It's not like it's Joel Mauer, who's going to be a free agent next year, but I don't think he's coming nowhere near New York, you know, being that he's a Minnesota twin and he's from Minnesota, grew up rooting for the Twins, so that's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think he might be gay, too.
Who?
Is he married to a woman?
Who?
Molina.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think he might be a Pop-Tart.
What is that supposed to be?
He might be, you know, a fun boy.
Maybe, I don't know.
He is in San Francisco, you know, you never know.
You never know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But in any case, I mean, it's not a loss. I mean, the guy is 35 years old. Sure, the guy hit a career 20 home runs. I mean, he would have gave the offense more depth. You know, could have called a good game, give that veteran presence behind the home plate. But in any case, the guy he didn't want to come here. I mean, he didn't want to come. You know, we gave him more money, but he felt that, you know, he didn't want to leave, you know, San Francisco, and
yeah.
Maybe it might be because he didn't want to uproot his family for something that's not, you know, secure, but in any case, that's his, you know, prerogative. And Piñeiro, I didn't want him to come on the Mets anyway because he looked like a Dave Duncan, who happens to be the Cardinals' pitching coach. You know, after he went to him, he lived up to his potential.
Right.
And who knows how he would have been on the Mets.
Well, there's still a lot of guys out there right now.
Like Ben Sheets. I hope he comes into – he wears a Mets uniform. That'd be awesome.
Ben Sheets, Jared Washburn,
yeah,
Ken Ming Wong.
Yep.
I don't know why these teams aren't going after those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. And one guy I wouldn't mind coming – as weird as this sounds, I wouldn't mind having John Smoltz coming out of the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wouldn't want him to be a fifth starter. I mean, because this guy's up there, and we saw how he pitched with the Red Sox. And then when he went to the Cardinals, and he was, you know, he was being coached by the aforementioned pitching coach, Dave Duncan. He revitalized his career. But this guy's up there. He's plus 40. He's probably 42 years old. So I think I'd be comfortable with him coming out of the bullpen, maybe spot start here and there. Only if we sign Ben Sheets and or Chan Ming Wong or Jared Washburn or Garland. I'm not really a Garland fan, but you know what you get out of him. You know, he eats innings.
Right.
But, you know, as long as they get somebody who has that potential like a Sheets, you know, I'd live with it.
So with the catcher situation, what are the Mets going to do now?
Well, right now it looks like it's going to be Santos and Henry Blanco splitting, sharing the catching duties, and then they're going to have Josh Tolley, who was a September call-up, who hit pretty good with the Mets last year, but his defense, you know, wasn't that great, and he's a, you know, like a singles hitter, so they're hoping that he stays down in AAA. He learns how to catch from Chris Coast, you know, how to be a better catcher, and maybe, you know, get a little stronger. He'll be more of an extra base hitter instead of a slap hitter.
Man. Ramon Castro, he could have been the starting catcher for the Mets right now, but this stupid idiot decided he didn't want to start.
Yeah.
What kind of ridiculous thing is that?
I know. I guess he didn't want to try to go to an All-Star game for once in his career or whatever.
That doesn't make any sense.
And this guy was a first-round pick years ago.
And he's not a great hitter, but he was a good hitter for you guys.
Yeah, he was a clutch backup catcher.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
He was like right up there with Vance Wilson when Vance Wilson was catching with the Mets. It was or Todd Pratt, you know, in the late 90s, like the 99 to early 2000 Met teams. I'd say from 99 to maybe 2001 or so. Mets teams, those guys were clutch. You know, they hit power.
Yeah.
Hit for power. You know, but we shall see what the Mets are going to do. And, of course, Mets, they acquired Gary Matthews Jr. a couple of days ago.
You guys
and
did?
Yeah.
Wow, I hear that.
Yeah, we got him on Thursday, I believe.
Wow.
And here's the thing, we got him when we traded away Brian Stokes, who was a bullpen guy in the Mets system. I mean, not in the system, but you know, on the team, the guy threw hard. But here's the weird thing about the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Angels agreed to pay 21.5. out of the 23.5 remaining out of his contract.
Oh.
So Mets are basically going to pay like 1.5 per year, the next 2 years. If you remember, Gary Matthews Jr., he signed he signed a 5-year, $50 million contract.
Right.
And he left the Texas Rangers when he had his best year as a player, and then he signed with the Angels, and he was a flat-out bust.
Yeah, it was just a major disappointment.
Yeah, and I believe he was one of the players rumored for taking HGH.
Yeah.
So that might explain why he sucked as a Los Angeles Angel.
And how fitting. He was the last man to strike out against in that Game 6 in that ALCS.
Against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees. Last year, so how fitting.
Yeah, that didn't. I didn't leave a good taste in the Angels fans' mouth.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if he could regain his power, the power that he had in Texas, and he could probably be a good bench player for you guys.
Yeah, he could be a good fourth outfielder, and he's gonna be in competition with Angel Pagan, you know, because Beltran had that knee surgery, so Beltran's gonna miss at least the first month,
right,
of the year. So Angel Pagan and Gary Matthews Jr. are going to, compete for the center field job. And here's a funny thing about Gary Matthews Jr. He's a second-time Met.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he, whatchamacallit, in 2002 or 2003.
Yeah, I remember that now.
I think he got traded to the Mets, I think from the Orioles. We got him from a team. And then he literally played one game for the Mets, and then he got traded again to the Orioles.
Yeah.
Funny how baseball.
He's a Mets game.
Yep.
And now he'll play more games.
Yeah. And the person who he's competing against is Angel Pagan, who was originally drafted by the Mets. But the Mets never, up until before 2008, Mets traded him away to the Cubs for cash. So then, you know, he Pagan made his debut with the Cubs in 07.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards in 08, they traded him to the Mets. And then that's when he officially became a Met.
Oh.
And then he got his first home run last year with his first career home run as a Met, which was a grand slam.
Man, he looks like he could be a good player.
Yeah, I like Angel Pagan. The only problem is I know what I'm talking about. Everybody who's watched a Mets game and watched Angel Pagan running around the bases, know he's not the best. He doesn't have the best baseball IQ. But then again, not a lot of players on the 09 Mets had, you know, baseball IQs or could stay healthy on the field anyway.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Oh, no, I just said, yeah. I agree with
you. But in any case, the Mets have a lot to prove after, you know, that horrible 2009 season when they got hurt and they were never in the race. And then you got to remember the two collapses in 07 and 08. Mets have a lot to prove. And you know what's funny? They have a commercial with the Mets commercial saying that we believe in comebacks, and you see Frank Gore, who's only Met who had a great year,
mm-hmm.
And Castillo, and then they show Maine, who was of course hurt. They show Jerry Manuel, and then they show Beltran. And he says, "Yeah, we believe in comebacks, but now in 2010, he got to make a comeback again." Jeez, man.
Is this a new commercial?
Yeah, this is the new commercial. You know, this is like, I'm assuming that's their new slogan for 2010.
Oh, we believe in comebacks?
Yeah, because they were, you know, everybody in the commercial who was there, you know, David Wright, Frank Gore, Beltran, Manuel, they're all saying that John Maine, they're all saying that they believe in comebacks. And I just felt it was a little ironic that Beltran was one of the, you know, the players who said we believe in comebacks, but of course this was taped before he had the knee surgery.
Yeah. And yet he gets injured.
Yeah. So he's gonna have to come back in like May or with the Mets medical staff, maybe June or July or September for all we know.
Yeah, that's a blow.
Yeah. Another outfield who's a free agent still is your boy Johnny Damon.
Yep. Johnny DeMuck.
Yep.
I think he's going to come back to the Yankees.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, there's a rumor that
it's been too long. No one has signed him.
they're giving them a, you know, it looks like they're giving them a take it or leave it deal. And I would assume Johnny Damon's going to take it.
He has to.
I think he will.
And if he does come back, oh, man, that's going to be a vicious lineup. Think about this. This is going to be Damon, Jeter, Teixeira, A-Rod, Posada, Nick Johnson, Cano, and who's the other guy I'm forgetting? Am I forgetting
Posada?
No, I already said Posada.
Granderson.
Oh, yeah, Granderson and someone else I'm forgetting.
Yeah, okay, let me go to the list. A-Rod? Let me think through the lineup in my mind. First base would be, of course, Teixeira. Second would be Cano. Third would be A-Rod. Of course, short would be Jeter. Center field would be Granderson. Left would be why am I drawing a blank? Well, I would assume it would be Damon if he comes back. Right would be Swisher? Yeah, Swisher.
Oh, yeah, Swisher. That's the guy. That's Swisher. Yeah, Swisher.
Why he was like the last person?
Yeah, that would be a vicious run if Damon comes back.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get him back.
Yeah. And then you count on that addition of Javier Vasquez in the rotation. You know, you guys look like you have a shot to repeat.
Yeah, a great shot of repeating. Although we gotta contend with the Red Sox, and you know they also had their moves.
Oh yeah, they signed Lackey.
Yeah, and Beltre.
Yeah, they signed Beltre, who I'm not a fan of, even though he's great defensively. He's had some great years.
Yeah, all he does is just home runs. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not really much of a fan of his. I think he's a little overrated, but I mean he's had some great years.
Yeah,
like hitting 48 or 50 home runs, I think, one year.
Yeah.
But you know those two teams in the AL East, you know, they're always contending.
It's gonna be a battle.
With the exception of the 2008 Tampa Bay Devil Rays, it's usually just those two teams battling out for the ALCS.
Yeah. And hopefully, we can go back to the World Series.
Yeah. And I guess we'll talk a little Nick for a minute.
Oh boy. Do we have to?
Well, I guess we'll just say Nick's got their butt kicked.
Is that the worst Knicks loss ever?
I usually stay and watch, you know, the team get their butt whooped, you know. But I left the, like, third quarter. It was like 94 to like 52. I was like, man, I can't take this crap no more.
Yeah, I saw the game, but I didn't watch the end.
Barring a miracle, I think it's safe to say Knicks got their butt kicked badly.
Man,
I'll find out the final scores later.
Man, ridiculous. Yeah. Nobody showed up today.
Yeah. Much later after the show. So I guess we'll move on to professional wrestling. And, oh, yeah, by the way, before that, Nets,
yeah.
Nets haven't won again. You know, Nets haven't won in 2010 yet. They're like 3-40 now.
Who? The Mets?
The Nets. Yeah, the Nets.
Oh, yeah, the Nets. Yeah, they suck.
Yeah. Looks like my prediction of 13 wins is, looks like I was wrong about that.
And they might not even get 10 wins.
The way I did play.
We got 3-40. There's only 39 games left.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
But,
they might set the record.
Yeah, they might. They definitely might.
Nice.
I guess we'll move on to professional wrestling. at least some of them win.
Oh, a little NFL update. The Vikings are leading 7-0 right now. Adrian Peterson just scored a rushing touchdown.
Thanks for that update. Anything happened to you on Raw? I mean, I missed the first half. I think that was the Don Johnson and John Heater, a.k.a. Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Other than that, the tag team match when Napoleon Dynamite kicked the Hornswoggle, I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anything major happened.
No, I mean, I can't even think. Because it seemed like the whole night revolved around John Heater and Don Johnson.
Yeah, and the...
And then the wrestlers.
Yeah, it is.
I can't think of any other big moment that happened that night.
Yeah, that's what they do on, when it's a special guest host. When the guest host, know absolutely nothing about, professional wrestling.
Yeah,
I guess it was whack, from what I saw.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but TNA was actually better, even though TNA wasn't that great as well.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I haven't seen it I haven't seen it since
the
Big
Hogan
Show on Monday, on Monday night.
Yeah, January 4th.
Yeah.
And like I told you the other day, they copied the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
And now they're calling it the Orlando Screwjob.
What exactly happened in that match?
It was a title match between Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles, who AJ Styles was a guy who was with the company. He was like our original.
Right.
So he's mostly a good guy. I mean, I don't watch the show like that, but from what I heard, you know he recently turned heel, and at the pay-per-view event Genesis, he turned into a heel when Ric Flair hit Kurt Angle from behind, and that's what helped AJ Styles retain the TNA Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So then on TNA, the TNA Impact, they had a rematch, and Hulk Hogan comes out and says, I said that was Angle's last shot. You know what? I'm the one in charge. I make the rules, so I changed my mind. They're gonna have one more rematch. So at the end of the match, Angle had, what's his name, in an ankle lock.
Right.
He had Styles in an ankle lock, and he got out of it. So then afterwards, Styles put Angle in the ankle lock, which is pretty much an ankle lock, but then because it's Kurt Angle, of course. So he had it on for like 1 second. For 1 second, Aunt Earl Hebner rang the bell. A la like the Montreal Screwjob in 97.
Right. Yeah, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart.
So Kurt Angle was, PO'd, and he was cursing. He just kept on cursing. Hulk Hogan comes out, and then he's cursing, and he's blaming Hogan for screwing him over, in the match. Even though Hogan, up until this point, didn't claim he has any responsibility. So then Kurt Angle spits in his face, just like Bret Hart did to Vince McMahon at the 1997 Survivor Series.
Man.
And afterwards, the fans were chanting, thank you, Angle. They kept chanting it. So then afterwards, then he start cursing. He's saying like, you know what? I'm going back to the WWE. One phone call from Vince and I'm back and stuff like that. And it was weird him promoting WWE. It sounded like he was promoting WWE more than TNA. I don't know why they would think of a storyline like this.
Well, I need to see that on YouTube.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, why would they have Kurt Angle in a storyline say that he's gonna leave the competition and say WWE and Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't get that.
I was surprised. I'm like, is he really going back to WWE?
Do you think so?
No, I don't think so. Because when I was looking, it looks like they were saying how he's going to it's part of the storyline.
Oh. Yeah, I need to see that on YouTube.
Well, with that, we gotta go. It was a pleasure, you know, doing a show, you know, this show with you. Thank you for the calls, for listening to us. Thank you, Macaulay, for being on the show.
Thank you. And I was gonna bring up something, but I guess I'll bring it up on my show next week on iMac. And
you
won't want to miss that, because something personal. It bombs you, Will.
Oh yes, I think I have an idea what that's referring to. So check out his show. That's iMac on Saturdays.
Yeah.
10 to 11 or 11 to 12, depending on, you know, the situation. So check that out. I'll make a, you know, guest appearance, you know, like I always do.
Because of your microphone.
So with that, we'll see you next week. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice weekend.
See you guys later.